You are listening to Pigs in a Podcast, the official K-Pig podcast, featuring interviews with your favorite new and not-so-new pig artists. Here's Jamie Coffis with a recent interview from our Neighborhood Night Wednesday night series.
You got it on K-Pig Radio. That's KPIG 107.5 Freedom, California. There it is. KPYG 94.9 Cayuca, San Luis Obispo, and kpig.com. It's Neighborhood Night, and I want to thank our sponsors. New Leaf Community Market, rooted in the greater good since 1985, and Sylvan Music at the corner of Mission and Bay for everything musical with friendly prices for every level of player, and don't forget about their repair department that's second to none. So thank you to Sylvan Music and New Leaf Community Markets. Without further ado, let's welcome onto the program an old pal of mine of Wolf Jet, Chris Jones.
What's up, Jamie?
Oh, let me get your mic on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
What's up,
Hello,
dude?
Hello, testing. Hey, Jamie.
Testing.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you. Congratulations are in order.
Yeah.
A new album is is out, and the vinyl is going to be coming out, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, it's all the way out, right?
Yeah, I just dropped a bunch of copies off at Streetlight Records in downtown Santa Cruz today, and we are shipping all the pre-orders out tomorrow, and we'll have them at the shows coming up. So, yeah, this is a big deal for us. It's been 4 years of a lot of crazy stuff, and finally things are coming up. Wolf Jet, things are looking better.
That's great, man. Yeah, it has been a bit of a bumpy ride there at times for you guys. I know we'll talk more about it, but the local show is Saturday at the Coombois, which is exciting. A nice little spot to showcase a new group of songs and you're getting together with some pals.
Yeah, I think we've got Wild Iris opening and then Alex Jordan, who's going to be playing keys with us and plays on the record, is going to do a solo set too. But unfortunately, the tickets are sold out. I found out today they're sold out, so you can't buy tickets.
Oh, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
what a bummer.
I know. It's super, super heartbreaking. But if you got tickets, then you're in and you did it right. Good for you. Thank you for your support, Santa Cruz County. We really appreciate you supporting us. We're really excited.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. I mean, I think selling out in this town is, like, ahead of time is definitely a badge of honor, for sure. Like, I don't see it happening all that often.
It's never happened at a show that we were headlining. We haven't headlined a lot of shows around here, but, like, you know, I mean, I've been playing in Santa Cruz since, like, the early 2000s and always dreamed of, like, selling out anything, you know, and just, like, I've been paying dues for years, and so to finally get to do this is literally, like, a 20-something year, like, goal that I had, and so I'm over the moon.
Good,
I'm not complaining.
it's well earned, well deserved. You guys have been like you said, it's been coming up for a little while, and it's been like we alluded to. It's been a little bit of a bumpy road here and there. We'll talk a little more about what's going on, but right now things are great.
Mm-hmm.
We are happy, and let's hear a tune.
All right, man.
Cool.
So this here's on the record. I think you played this song yesterday on the radio, but it's called Sycamore Wind.
I did.
All right, I'm going to back off and do one of these.
Ah, what a pro.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somewhere far
make it grand.
Nice. Sycamore Wind. Chris Jones here of Wolf Jet. We're celebrating the new album, Time Will Finally Come, and indeed it did.
Yeah.
We were talking about a little bit of a bumpy road there for a second. No big deal, just a whole house and studio and all your equipment burning down.
That's right.
Shout out to our other longtime friend, John Payne.
Yep. Hey, John.
John.
If you're listening, yeah. I think they are. They're texting me right now.
Nice. Yeah, I figured he was. We were going to try to figure out a way to get him online here, but we'll save that for another time. But talk about that, and because you guys go back a long way, and you'd really built something up out there in Boulder Creek. You had something everyone was really excited about, and it was gaining some momentum. And then this some lightning struck somewhere.
Literally, and
that was tough.
That was tough. We lived up by Big Basin, and then that all happened so quickly. And it's an old story now. It's a timeless story of 4 years ago, but. We basically what happened after the fire is we went into survival mode because the house was like destroyed. But then there's like a ton of cleanup involved. I don't know if you've never gone through a disaster before. You don't know these things, but it like takes months to sift through the ashes to like get the county to they'll like make your property so you can't even go on it. And then you have to get that cleared and it's an environmental issue. So they have to clean it up and. Meanwhile, we're living in hotels and apartments. And then I ended up in a trailer at Will's house, and Will's our guitar player and lap steel player. And then John had moved into a tiny home on his property. And it was just like this whole transitory period of 3 years. And meanwhile, we came out with our first record before COVID, and that was, obviously delayed. So we had bought ourselves some time, but then a couple years went by and we're like, man, we haven't even had time to go into the studio or make a record. And we were trying and it just wasn't happening. We were just not in the right place. And then to the rescue is Jonathan Kirshner, who is from Cumbrio. He plays bass in Cumbrio, but he's also a really amazing producer. He's worked with the Rainbow Girls, King Dream, all the bands that I love from our San Francisco, Oakland scene, like Kelly McFarling and all those folks, I always thought they were amazing. And he had worked with all of them. So I met him at a Brothers Comatose show. He was doing sound for them for a live show. And I think we were opening at Moe's. And he's just come on up to the studio and let's do a couple songs. And then next thing you know, we're making a record. So he kind of was the one who clicked everything for us. We had the songs, we just didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of was really good at pushing us and getting us to do something.
Yeah.
And it turned out that, that's what we needed was just some help.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And he has his own space up there?
Yeah, it's in Oakland. I've asked him what's the name of your studio? And he's like, I don't need to advertise this. It's people will know who will know and sort of thing. But he does have a rad space up there, and it gets radder every time I go up there. He has a Mellotron and a Whirly and a Rode. He's got all the keyboards now. So it's nice to go up there. Anybody playing keys can just sit down and there's a space. It's really cool. It's really cool working with a producer. Guys work with a producer.
It's
know
what fun. That's like. Yeah, and it's evident. And the record sounds produced. It's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's very heavy in his production, which I actually love. I really like really heavy sounds. I like super aggressive kind of production. It's just cool working with somebody who has a vision that's beyond what we have. And we are just not that sophisticated in our like thinking of our songs. Mm. And we came in and brought him the songs, and he's like in the studio and the day of, he's like, what if you did this? What if you did this? And I remember there was one song where we got like really frustrated, and I was just like, let's take a break. Like, we're not getting it. And we went and got a burrito, and we came back, and I'll be darned, he had already mixed the song. It wasn't even finished. We didn't even have a finished version of it. And he came back and he had like mixed it, and like we played it back for us. Like, and we're like, well, I guess we don't need to finish the song because he just did for us. So
well, that's cool.
He's just really creative that way. Like, he works really quick. We have mixes the day of, and I don't know. Big shout out to Jonathan Kirshner.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
It kind of brings up something I wanted to ask you about, which is like, Take me back to when the band started, when Wolfjet formed, which is, you know, you and John have been in other projects for a long time. This is a new project.
Right.
And I'm curious, like, the vision or the, like, what this band, what Wolfjet was then.
Right.
How has that evolved through, like, after this album? Is it more clear or less clear now?
Yeah.
And is that good? And, like, how do you view that?
Well, it's like, before it was like, it was like, so back in 2017, I left San Francisco. I've been living there for years, and we were in a band called Scary Little Friends, of which you were part of for a brief time. And I just was feeling like stale. So I went to John's house at the time. It hadn't burned yet. And he had that tape machine. I had a Tascam 388. And he would go to work every day. And I'd be like, I had quit my job and was going to move to Spain. So I had just like made all these demos, and he would come home and lay down drums, and then Dan Talamantis would show up, or Steve Height, you know, buddies of ours that we all know, would just come by the house and like lay down tracks and stuff. And that was the foundation for when I left. He called me one day in Spain, or was sending me messages while I was in Spain, because I was in Spain for almost a year. And he was like, man, you got to like listen to the record you made with me, and it's really good. And when you come back to the US, you should consider coming back here and starting something, a new project that's like, you know. So what I was doing, when I moved back, I got in a relationship and I was living in Manhattan, and I was coming back and forth. So I was living in Manhattan. I would be there for like 2 months, and then I'd be at John's house for like a month.
I think I remember this.
Yeah, it was like and that's probably the last time I was with on Neighborhood Night.
I think it might have been, yeah. Back in the old studio, I think I remember this.
Yeah, I do remember that. Just up there.
Yeah.
And 2019, so and then when we started the band, we had Jeff Kissel on bass, and he was stand-up, and Will was dobro. So it was all like an acoustic folk band, because we're like, oh, it's Santa Cruz, you know, people will like this, you know, sound. Mm-hmm. It's more gentle, it's like more down home. But you know, what happened was, you know, as Jeff left the band and Duncan came into the band, Duncan's like, I could play electric if you wanted. And we're like, try it. And we just did it. And as soon as Duncan entered the band and played electric, the sound dynamics changed, because he's a really like Motown heavy and like jazz background guy. So it just got more like funky. And then when Kirshner heard that, he dug in on the record, because we were writing some like Motown kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he's like, no, like, it goes deeper than that. Like, you guys should go deeper, you know? And, like, then it became like we started playing, like, festivals, and we're like, oh, these jam bands are, like, killing it. Like, people love that music, but we're not a jam band. But if we do enough of it, like, then we get them on the same page. So it was just kind of, like, discovering what was cool, and, like, people that we met were, like, giving us feedback. We liked the soul stuff. And, you know, the main thing is, and I know this is, like, a problem for some people, but like genres are just like really hard.
Yeah.
Like if you're a rock band, which we used to be in San Francisco, it used to be really hard to get gigs because nobody wanted a rock band unless you were, you know, Wilco or something, you know, nobody wanted to go see a rock band. Now they do. It's changed since I left. So we just figured out like, okay, cool. Like we're just going to get heavier. Like all we're going to do is get heavier and like deeper into the grooves. And because we had to play a long time, you know, you got to do it. And like, we're not a good bar band, I would say. We're not like, we can't play a bunch of cover songs. We don't rock that hard, but we do have like a soul element. So we're like, let's dig into the soul element and be like more festival vibey kind of thing. So, And then this record, once we heard all the recordings back, we're like, oh, that's how we should sound.
Yeah.
So then we just learned to play like the record sounded. Like, that's what we're doing right now, you know?
Interesting. That's one way. Yeah. A little bit out of order, but that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I came up through the rock band and bar band scene. You know, I grew up playing in cover bands and bars, and I love that energy. And it's just like, that's the last thing I want to bring into it. And we're figuring it out. We got to get back to that world too, because that's a beautiful world.
Well, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, it's been a pretty natural evolution, I think.
Yeah.
A gentle one. Also, it's not like some stark difference between where you guys were and where you are now, but it's been cool to kind of follow that along. And I had a feeling Kirchner had a bit of a hand in that. And
yeah, for sure.
It's cool once you get into the studio and kind of dissect the material and see what you got and who can contribute to it and where that can take it. It's neat. It's neat thing to talk about. But let's hear another song.
Okay. I'm just looking at all the songs on the record here. You don't have Broken. I was gonna ask you to play Laura's song because Laura T. Lewis, the other singer in the band, isn't here tonight. But I was gonna have her play this song. But we'll do. Let's see. What will we do? I'm kind of like digging this. This is the title song, and this was the last song we wrote on the record. But I think this song best says like the frustration that we felt not being able to like do what we wanted and not being able to play gigs during COVID and all that stuff. It just kind of like that feeling that you're always behind. So out here in struggle, I get so stressed, keep hoping for a breakthrough, but I haven't found one yet. Life's little problems keep me on the daily grind.
You are listening to Pigs in a Podcast, the official K-Pig podcast, featuring interviews with your favorite new and not-so-new pig artists. Here's Jamie Coffis with a recent interview from our Neighborhood Night Wednesday night series.
You got it on K-Pig Radio. That's KPIG 107.5. Freedom, California. There it is. KPYG 94.9, Cayuca, San Luis Obispo, and kpig.com. It's Neighborhood Night, and I want to thank our sponsors. New Leaf Community Market, rooted in the greater good since 1985, and Sylvan Music at the corner of Mission and Bay for everything musical with friendly prices for every level of player, and don't forget about their repair department that's second to none. So thank you to Sylvan Music and New Leaf Community Markets. Without further ado, let's welcome onto the program an old pal of mine of Wolf Jet, Chris Jones. What's up, Jamie? Oh, let me get your mic on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
What's up,
hello,
dude?
Hello, testing. Hey, Jamie. Testing. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you. Congratulations are in order.
Yeah.
A new album is is out, and the vinyl is going to be coming out too. Mm-hmm. But as of now, it's all the way out, right?
Yeah, I just dropped a bunch of copies off at Streetlight Records in downtown Santa Cruz today, and we are shipping all the pre-orders out tomorrow, and we'll have them at the shows coming up. So, yeah, this is a big deal for us. It's been 4 years of a lot of crazy stuff, and finally things are coming up. Wolf Jet, things are looking better.
That's great, man. Yeah, it has been a bit of a bumpy ride there at times for you guys. I know we'll talk more about it, but the local show is Saturday at the Coombois, which is exciting. A nice little spot to showcase a new group of songs and you're getting together with some pals.
Yeah, I think we've got Wild Iris opening and then Alex Jordan, who's going to be playing keys with us and plays on the record, is going to do a solo set too. But unfortunately, the tickets are sold out. I found out today they're sold out, so you can't buy tickets.
Oh, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
what a bummer.
I know. It's super, super heartbreaking. But if you got tickets, then you're in and you did it right. Good for you. Thank you for your support, Santa Cruz County. We really appreciate you supporting us. We're really excited.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. I mean, just I think selling out in this town is like ahead of time is definitely a badge of honor for sure. Like it does, I don't see it happening all that often.
It's never happened at a show that we were headlining. We haven't headlined a lot of shows around here, but like, you know, I mean, I've been playing in Santa Cruz since like the early 2000s and always dreamed of like selling out anything, you know, and just like had a, you know, I've been paying dues for years. And So to finally get to do this is literally like a 20 something year like goal that I had. And so I'm over the moon. I'm not complaining.
It's well earned, well deserved. You guys have been, like you said, it's been coming up for a little while and,
Yeah, and
it's been a little, like we alluded to, it's been a little bit of a bumpy road here and there. We'll talk a little more about what's going on, but Right now things are great. Mm-hmm. We are happy, and let's hear a tune.
All right, man.
Cool.
So this here's on the record. I think you played this song yesterday on the radio, but it's called Sycamore Wind.
I did.
All right, I'm gonna back off and do one of these.
Ah, what a pro!
There you go.
Yeah. Sycamore Wind, Chris Jones here of Wolf Jet. We're celebrating the new album, Time Will Finally Come, and indeed it did.
Yeah.
We, like I said, we were talking about some a little bit of a bumpy road there for a second. Just yeah. no big deal. Just a whole house and studio and all your equipment burning down.
That's right.
Shout out to our other longtime friend John Payne.
Yep. Hey John.
John,
if you're listening, yeah. I think they are. They're texting me right now.
Nice. Yeah, I figured he was. We were going to try to figure out a way to get him.
Yeah.
Online here, but we'll save that for another time. But yeah, talk about that, and because you guys go back a long way, and you'd really built something up out there in Boulder Creek. You had something everyone was really excited about, and it was gaining some momentum. And then this some lightning struck somewhere.
Literally, and
that was tough.
That was tough. We lived up by Big Basin, and then you know that all happened so quickly. And it's an old story now. It's a timeless story of 4 years ago. But you know, we basically what happened after the fire is we went into survival mode because the house was like destroyed. But then there's like a ton of cleanup involved. I don't know if you've never gone through a disaster before, you don't know these things. But it like takes months to sift through the ashes to like get the county to they'll like. Make your property so you can't even go on it. And then you have to get that cleared and it's an environmental issue. So they have to clean it up. And meanwhile, you know, like we're living in hotels and apartments. And then I ended up in a trailer at Will's house, and Will's our guitar player and lap steel player. And then John had moved into a tiny home on his property. And it was just like this whole transitory period of like, 3 years. And meanwhile, you know, we came out with our first record before COVID, and that was, you know, obviously delayed. So we had bought ourselves some time, but then like a couple years went by and we're like, man, we haven't even had time to like go into the studio or like make a record. And we were trying and it just wasn't happening. We were just not in the right place. And then to the rescue is Jonathan Kirshner, who is from Cumbrio. He plays bass in Cumbrio, but he's also a really amazing producer. He's worked with the Rainbow Girls, King Dream, like all the bands that I love from our San Francisco, Oakland scene, like Kelly McFarling and all those folks. Like I always like thought that were amazing. And he had worked with all of them. So I met him at a Brothers Comatose show. He was doing sound for them for a live show. And I think we were opening at Moe's. And he's just like, come on up to the studio and let's do a couple songs. And then next thing you know, we're making a record. So he kind of was the one who clicked everything for us. Like we had the songs, we just didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of was really good at pushing us and getting us to like do something.
Yeah.
And it turned out that, you know, that's what we needed was just some help.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And he has his own space up there?
Or? Yeah, it's in Oakland. He doesn't, like, I've asked him, like, what's the name of your studio? And he's like, I don't need to advertise this. He's like, people will know who will know and nice, all that sort of thing. But he does have a rad space up there. And it gets radder every time I go up there. He like now he has a Mellotron and a Whirly and a Rode. He's got all the keyboards now. So it's like nice to go up there. Anybody playing keys can just like sit down and there's like a space. It's really cool working with a producer. Guys work with a producer, you
it's
know
what fun, that's like. Yeah, and it's evident, and you know, the record sounds produced. It's cool.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And he's very heavy in his production, which I actually love. I really like really heavy sounds. I like super like aggressive kind of production. It's just cool working with somebody who has a vision that's beyond what we have. And we are just not that sophisticated in our like thinking of our songs. Mm. And we came in and brought him the songs and he's like in the studio in the day of, he's like, what if you did this? What if you did this? And I remember there was one song where we got like really frustrated and I was just like, let's take a break. Like we're not getting it. And we went and got a burrito and we came back and I'll be darned. He had already mixed the song. It wasn't even finished. We didn't even have a finished version of it. And he came back and he had like mixed it and like we played it back for us like and we're like, well, I guess we don't need to finish the song because he just did for us. So
well, that's cool.
He's just really creative that way. Like he works really quick. We have mixes the day of, and I don't know, big shout out to Jonathan Kirshner.
Nice, cool.
Yeah.
It kind of brings up something I wanted to ask you about, which is like take me back to when the band started, when Wolfjet formed, which is, you know, you and John have been in other projects
yeah,
for
yeah.
a long time. This is a new project.
Right.